We are in Ephesians 4, and we're going to finish up the last, 8 or 9 verses of Ephesians 4. And we were gone with some of the folks from here down to Florida. We felt it was time to get a little sunshine. No, it was a pastor's conference. And first pastor's conference that I've been to in several years. But we had a great time in the Lord. So again, I thank you for your prayers. But last week, we looked at how a believer in Christ has responsibilities to the Lord. One, our salvation. The fact that he sought us out and he saved us while we were opposed to him. What a great blessing that is. We were not looking for him, but he looked for us. And the second benefit we have is fellowship with the living God. Try to explain that one to a non-believer. But anyway, Paul points out how we are called and gifted by God, the Holy Spirit, to respond to the truth of living a meaningful life, a life of truth. Now, we're not only called to serve the Lord, but we are gifted by the Holy Spirit in our service to the Lord. All of us are part of the body of Christ. Now, there's different calls upon us and upon each life, but our gifting includes laying aside fleshly, carnal traits or desires. And Paul will mention those in this ending of the chapter 4. And Paul goes on to list some of the fleshly habits or behavior that we can have in this old man. And we need reminders of how deceitful and how fleshly or carnal our thinking can be, even as believers. We are to lay aside carnal thinking and behavior. For each of us are called to edify the body of Christ. We're all called to build one another up. So we got to ask the question, am I an encouragement or am I a hindrance to the body of Christ? Am I building up the body of Christ, or through my behavior is my reputation being questionable? In verse 19 of chapter 4, Paul speaks of licentiousness, evil, sinful thinking. And it can be selfish in thought, and it can be full of fleshly ambitions. Do we allow our human pride to nullify the good work that we are called to by God? Paul says, put off these behaviors and by humility serve one another. So let's continue chapter 4 of Ephesians, beginning in verse 25. Therefore, conclusion, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Bunch of do-nots in this passage. And the first one is put away lying. Lying can be very basic, straightforward, a do not. But lying can creep up on us. Recently, I was caught off guard by a man who was using a cane to walk with. He had stationed himself at a doorway to a restaurant, and he was struggling to come out of the restaurant, and you help him with the door, and so forth. And the man thanked me for opening the door, and he invited me with a long, drawn-out invitation to attend his church. Not wanting to be rude, I listened to him. I listened to this long, drawn-out invitation. But finally I told him, what if I were to tell you I am a pastor and that I'm kind of loyal to my congregation on Sunday mornings? This didn't stop him. For he immediately went into how he suffered hardship by giving his son financial help who was injured in an accident. Now I'm starting to think he's putting a scam on me. I'm susceptible to thinking evil. I am. But he's walking with a cane, struggling with the door, invitation to church. Now he's pleading for money. I'm being set up to give this struggling man help, but I do not bite. So in being critical of his behavior, I do not challenge his pleas for money. I lied to the man. I did. I told him I'm broke. And I got money in my pocket about to go in and buy a meal. But I tell him, God will provide for your need. But the Lord convicted me, realizing that I had just lied to the man. Instead of correcting him for his pleads for money and so forth, I took the easy road. Like I said, I was not broke. And I was going in a restaurant to eat, and I had money in my pocket to pay for my meal. And no surprise to me, he pulled the same invitation on my friend who was slightly behind me. My friend happened to attend the church that the man was inviting him to. And he said, he told the man, I don't recognize you. I attend that church. And I've never seen you there. What's up? And this man, again, pleaded for money for his helping his son. And during our lunch, my friend and I, we talked over this scam that this man was trying to pull. Now, my friend is a generous man, but he didn't give him any money either. So I felt a little better about that. But Pastor Don, out of convenience, just told the man, I am broke. Only later did I realize I just lied to that man. I avoided confronting the man. And my thoughts just go away, stranger. I'm not going to help you. I think you're scamming me. I didn't confront him on that. And I had no doubt that this man had lied to me. But I also lied to him. Instead of confronting him, I avoided him by lying. And this man needed to be confronted on his, what I call, scam. But I took the easy path. I'm broke, and I walked away. That was a lie of convenience. Or basically, don't bother me any longer. My friend did confront the man, telling him, I've never seen you at church. Now, What surprised me is how easy I fell in to telling this man a lie of convenience. I'd like to pride myself that I'm a truthful man, but I wasn't to this man. It just popped out. I'm broke. Problem solved. Later, I had to repent, and I did repent. Or I wouldn't confess this to you this morning if I hadn't repented. Because I wasn't willing to take the time to caution him about his lies, so I told a lie. So much for being a man of the truth. But the next sin Paul will mention is an easy sin to also fall into. Be angry, however, do not sin. Jesus, we find him angry a couple of times when he cleared the temple of the buyers and the sellers and so forth. He was angry. He drove out the money changers and so forth. Jesus was angry, but he did not sin. We can become angry. But unfortunately, most of the time, our anger can lead to sin. It's permissible to be angry, but don't let that anger cause you to sin. When we are angry, we're tempted to justify this hot under the collar attitude with words of justification. We all have zones of anger. We have different things that cause us to be angry. I can find myself arguing with the TV. And Lori will remind me, they cannot hear you, Don. And so I can get angry. And then if I'm not careful, enter into sin by scorning or rebuking those that I am told to pray for. Have you ever said this of a politician? If his lips are moving, you know he's lying. I've used that term before. And we have many godless politicians in our country. And oftentimes we criticize them when we're told by Scripture to pray for them. Anger and wrath are emotions that cause us to vent our self-righteous feelings. Instead of praying for politicians or leaders, we sometimes will find ourselves criticizing them. Paul wrote this letter while under severe persecution from the tyrant Nero. Absolute tyrant. Persecuted Christians beyond measure. But Paul writes to us, don't criticize them, pray for them. Now Paul addresses thievery. We can look upon small items like ballpoint pens, paper clips, etc., taken from work as things for our convenience. Many times, our employer, they expect us to take these little items. They really do. Walmart figures into their budget what they lose by theft. They know theft is going to happen. As a young child, I have seen my mother go through a market and pull off a grape from a pot of grapes and taste it. And she said, I'm tasting it to see if it's fresh. And she would do this with vegetables too. Us kids would say, Mom, what are you doing? Her reply, they expect us as a shopper to do this. Her justification. Years ago, I had a job. I haven't always been a pastor. I have worked for a living. Years ago, I was a machinist in a large company, and we would make certain tools for our own use on company time. I had a boss who would give me projects to build for his off-road vehicle and his adventures. One of my bosses, he would give me projects. So I asked, is this not stealing time and materials? Afraid it is. And yet it's a common practice. Paul goes on to talk about how we are to labor or exert ourselves so we can be givers. We had a couple years ago that would come to our potlucks, load up a plate or two extra, and take home. That's fine. But I talked to the man one time. I said, you know, God wants us as believers to be givers, not takers. Think about that. Pray about that. And that's something to consider. I have heard people, Christians, gossip. I've called them on it. And for them, they only replied, I only spoke the truth. That truth, if it's hurtful, can be gossip. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I like to golf, and once in a while I go and golf with a group of Christian men. And the main thing I like about it, there's no profanity, there's no cursing, and vulgar words are not spoken. But every now and again, a stranger will join our group and will use foul language. I said to this one fellow who missed a shot and cussed up a blue streak, and I said, do you realize what just came out of your mouth? He replied, it's okay. I repent every night. I didn't know which was worse. His repenting, assuming upon God's grace, or his cursing. Hard decision. Finally, Paul comes down to do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit in many different ways. Paul goes through a bunch of do's and don'ts that we, as Christians, we're to obey. But how do we spend our spare time? How do we entertain ourselves? There are some Calvary chapels that they require their elders no R-rated movies or worse. As an elder, you're having people watch you. No R movies or definitely no X-rated movies. The point, have a sensitive conscience before God. Do not put trash into the mind, not into the images of your mind. We're called to a Christ-like atmosphere, a lifestyle that is above board. Also a lifestyle that's free of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Bitterness can be resentful spirit that refuses to reconcile with others. That's the definition of bitterness. So we're to be tender-hearted, be forgiving of one another, remembering we have all been forgiven by Christ. We're not to hold grudges. When we have experienced the loving forgiveness of God, how can you hold a grudge against someone that perhaps has sinned against you? Recently, and I mean like within the last 2 weeks, perhaps my best friend in ministry called me on the phone. He lives in Spokane, Washington. And we played catch up on the phone for about 20 minutes. Finally, he said, "The reason I called you, I want to apologize for offending you." I said, "About what?" I had no idea what he was talking about. And I asked him, "What did you do?" He said, "Years ago, we had dinner together along with our pastor, Damien Kyle, and I said some things that I thought might be offensive to you." I said, "Well, don't tell me now, because I wasn't offended." But my friend, he was relieved to know that he had not offended me. And I sort of chuckled and I assured him I was okay. But his conscience bothered him to the point that he had to make that call and confess that he was sorry. The good part is I didn't know what he was sorry about. We're to be tender-hearted like that. We're to be loving. We're not to be offending the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So be like Jesus. Be tender-hearted. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, Paul goes through a list of do's and don'ts. And Lord, sometimes, like myself, I can get caught up having sinned out of convenience. Lord, I don't want to be that way. I want to be known as a man of truth. I want my words to be true words. I want them to be about you. I want them to edify, Lord. So help me. Help me not to take that easy path of telling a lie out of convenience, Lord. So be with me. Be with all of us, Lord, as we try to not be angry in sin, when we try to be edifying to one another, and we try to build up the body of Christ. Let us be about you and your kingdom, Lord. So help us. Lord, we've been saved by a gracious and loving Jesus. He came and he sought us out while we were opposed to him. And let us be thankful. Thankful, Lord, that you saw something in us that you wanted to redeem to yourself. And I'm glad you did. Glad that you sought me out, Lord. Glad that you granted me salvation. And so we rejoice that we are saved. Saved from a life of worthlessness, saved from a life with no meaning. We're saved unto a higher call. We're saved to glorify you, Lord. So help us to do that. So forgive us of our sins. Wash us clean, Lord. Be our Lord, be our God, and we will praise you and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.